This is a download from BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
You're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn Shanning and Julian. Now, in about half an hour, we're going to be speaking with Dr. Ashura Saleh, independent consultant on Malaysian Indonesian maritime security. But in the meantime, let's continue our conversation about the Wuhan coronavirus. So travel and tourism are expected to be among the hardest hit sectors from the spread of the virus. But for now, the Ministry of Tourism, Arts and Culture is maintaining its arrival targets for Visit Malaysia 2020 at 30 million visitors and 100 billion ringgit in receipts. So the tourism minister, Dato' Mohamedin Ketapi, has said that any drop in arrivals from China is likely to be marginal and temporary.
Having said that, Malaysia has suspended the issuance of visas to visitors from Wuhan and the Hubei province in China. MOTEC is also going to set up a committee to mitigate the outbreak.
Yeah, the committee will provide advice and clarification to all tourists on steps to prevent infection during their stay in the country. And apart from that, the committee will also plan and formulate actions to find new markets to replace the affected sectors, particularly from China, because it is our third biggest source of tourists and tourism revenue for Malaysia. Now, just to put this into perspective, last year, Chinese tourists spent over 3.7 billion in Malaysia, and that was a 700 million ringgit increase from 2018. And under the Visit Malaysia 2020, the target for Chinese tourist arrivals is 3.5 million people.
So the tourism minister didn't elaborate on what new markets could potentially replace affected sectors, so China, basically. So we don't really know what he's got squirreled away in terms of plans just yet. But this is an interesting. What's happening here as a result of the virus spread is interesting and a little bit alarming to watch, because the flow of incoming tourism is one aspect of the conversation. But what kind of a welcome these tourists will also receive is another aspect of the conversation that does also still need to be addressed, because the tourism minister has addressed reports of certain tourist sites barring entry to foreign tourists and called for an end to any such restrictions. So one known example of this is Putrajaya's Putra Mosque. So beginning Sunday, the mosque's management informed that it will deny entry to non-Muslim visitors following concerns over the new coronavirus outbreak. Now, I did have a few questions when I saw this report initially, because, you know, China does have a significant Muslim population. I think the estimates place it as much as 2.8% of the overall population, which doesn't seem like a lot until you take into account that China is a country of 1.3 billion people. And then you realize that nearly just shy of 3% of the population still means 36 million people.
But very soon, the Chinese won't be turning up anyway, because the Chinese government has actually moved to suspend all domestic and international tour groups in a bid to stop the spread of disease. So eventually, the numbers will dwindle down, even if we have all this, I would say, quite unnecessary kind of stoppages at any major tourist site. I don't think it's really feasible to enforce it. How do you monitor it?
I don't know whether it's... it's up to the mosque or the respective institutions to... create their own defenses, because you're talking about the lack of information here from not only Malaysia, but from the various governments around the region as to whether the outbreak would cause further infections. And of course, people are always thinking about the bread and butter, the rice bowl, and don't want to affect tourism revenues. Beijing has already locked down Wuhan and Hubei, preventing those people from coming out. But we don't know to what extent this is fearful.
Exactly. So my concern here is, of course, you know, places like the Putra Mosque and other tourist sites that perhaps may also be barring entry to foreign visitors. To a certain extent, you can't blame them either, because you can't blame people for being afraid in the face of all of these news reports about this coronavirus. The number of cases seeming to almost skyrocket every evening. But the problem is, you know, when that fear develops into fear of the unknown and basically xenophobia, that's when we start to have a problem, because that kind of xenophobia could potentially outlast the current outbreak. So how do you address the problems that this may result in future? Because we do have we have had issues with xenophobia before in this country, and for the most part they've kind of kept on the down low. You know, but yeah. But with the with this, you start to see a lot more open conversation about, oh no, you know, you shouldn't allow Chinese tourists to come in at all. Is it do they deserve it? These conversations don't help anyone at the end of the day.
No, and it just creates almost a panic in a way, right? And I don't know how it actually helps anyone in terms of, you know, trying to stop the spread of the virus. And then it also, I think there's too much finger pointing also that, you know, it's caused by them, it's caused by them. When we really have no evidence at all. We do know it came from a market, but it's also not fair to just blame individual people who are honestly probably clueless that they have this virus, right? Nobody wants to spread an illness around, I'm sure. And now, of course, they are ill, which makes it worse.
I think there would be a lot of pressure on the Chinese government to implement policies, that preventative policies to prevent another outbreak of such a scale. Because during the last SARS infection, they did ban animals, the slaughtering of wild animals in the markets. And then they sort of suspended that. And now we have gone back to that, which is this virus is pretty similar to SARS. So we have gone back to those kind of practices. So
it's
the question,
like forgotten, right?
You're going into the values of the people, what they eat, right? So what kind of policies can you implement to take care of that? The other thing is that compared to the SARS, the Chinese government is now more open in giving a lot of information, for example, on the data and the development of this virus so that a vaccine can be created speedily compared to SARS. And that's a good thing. But if you look at the data, I think there was a data dump 1 or 2 days ago where the number of cases coming out from China grew from...
accelerated.
You know,
right?
it's crazy. Grew from, I think it was 2,000-something to now 4,000-something. So
4,006.
That data, whether it's from an increase in cases or whether it was a data dump, that's very alarming. So we actually need more information.
Absolutely. So we definitely do need more information. We need more transparency. And it is worth saying that the Chinese government took a lot less time to inform the WHO of the spread of this virus compared to SARS. I think it took them 80 days or something to actually notify the WHO this time around with the coronavirus compared to nearly 200, 300 days with the SARS. So they have been on much higher alert and they have responded a lot quicker with this novel coronavirus. The thing is, when it comes to the spread of this kind of rhetoric over the virus here in Malaysia, though, have you noticed, this is something that I noticed, that it has also started to become almost a political tool. Because people use the examples of the three patients who've been warded at Sungai Buloh Hospital to say that, oh, you know, our government is threatening the safety of the people. Why are they keeping them here? Why aren't they just sending them back to China?
Because they're sick. I mean, it's as simple as this, right? I mean, you don't send people home when they're sick. You need to cure them first. What do you want to do? Put them on the plane and send them back when they're not feeling well? I mean, would you like it being done to you also?
I think what's needed here is more information about quarantine measures, right? How do you actually curtail the spread of this virus?
And just the elaboration on the fact that actually sending them back could be more dangerous in the long term. Because if you know that they are ill and you know that they are potentially infectious... So if you are going to be putting them on a plane and exposing them to other people in the course of sending them back to China, then you are putting other people in danger.
I mean, it's also, I think, just you know, some common sense has to prevail, right? At the end of the day, you want to minimize the spread of this virus, which means keeping them in hospitals, minimizing human contact with anyone. But the point about China is that there are some admissions of fault in terms of the news. I think the Wuhan governor actually came out to say, yes, he could have been more proactive. He could have told people about this thing earlier and be more serious about it. In fact, the numbers, the 4,000, could be higher because there were earlier infections and they sent them home and they actually got better because the mortality rate is still around below 5%. So a lot of people just show very mild symptoms like the flu and then they feel fine. But unfortunately, it does cause deaths. I mean, especially if you're in the vulnerable camp.
Absolutely. And even in terms of the economic ties between Malaysia and China, it's difficult to see yet how this is going to be affected, because there is still a lot of uncertainty in the global markets over the coronavirus and when exactly we will see it start to abate. But this is going to be definitely an ongoing conversation. If you want to weigh in on it, we do have a poll running on the BFM Twitter account. That's at BFM Radio, asking you, has the Wuhan coronavirus affected your travel plans over the next 6 months? Do let us know what you think and tell us why. Right now, we're heading into the 7:30 news, and up next, we'll be speaking with Anwita Basu, Head of Asia Country Risk and Macro Research at Fitch Solutions, on the regional impact of the Wuhan coronavirus, including on China's economy. Now, that's going to be happening after the 7:30 news bulletin. Stay tuned to BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.